Live. Good morning and welcome back to Four States Live. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning. I'm Kevin Seidenstricker along with Shannon Bruffett. We are very happy to have in the studio with us this morning, Mr. Travis Stevens, the new president and CEO of the Joplin Area Chamber of Commerce. Good morning, Travis.
Kevin and Shannon, good morning. It's great to be here.
So we've got to ask, before we get into some of the harder questions, we want to get a little bit background information on you before you landed here in Joplin. Talk a little bit about yourself.
Sure. That's a very open-ended question.
I know.
So, I feel like I've had a few careers. I'll just back up and say for the last 6 years, six and a half, I've lived in Northwest Arkansas doing economic development and chamber work there. Once economic development for the city of Bella Vista, right on the border of Missouri. And we would actually do our shopping at Walmart at Jane, Missouri. That was closer for us than to go into Bentonville or Rogers. And then the last 3.5 years, I've been working as the chief operating officer of the Greater Bentonville Area Chamber of Commerce. So it's been really exciting to be part of that landscape and just see all the amazing things and the growth happening right before our eyes there. So,
and especially right there in the Jane area, because I remember when Walmart was the only thing there.
Right. I don't. You go back further than I do there. So.
Thanks for giving away my age. I appreciate it. So what attracted you to Joplin?
Sure. Well, so to be honest, I wasn't looking. We were pretty content where we were. I liked my job. We liked being in that area. And we had always planned, once my youngest daughter, we have four daughters, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to my older years. I feel like I'll have a lot of help, people taking care of me when I need it the most. But no, we were not really looking to leave. But we always had the thought that once our youngest graduated high school, we would probably just seek out a new opportunity, a new adventure. We weren't really tied to Northwest Arkansas. Our other three children were either out of college, living somewhere else, or were in colleges out of the area. And so we kind of knew that we would probably be following them more than they would be following us. So was just had that in the back of our minds. And then somebody reached out to me and just said, hey, would you be interested in looking at Joplin? And then, you know, at the time I hadn't really thought about it, but I thought, you know, that's close enough that we could still kind of have a foot in two places and before we had to transition. And so, yeah, that's where it all started.
Travis, you've got a really strong background working in economic development with different chambers of commerce, but you also have a very strong education as well. And I'm just wondering, who are you rooting for? OU or Arkansas?
Definitely Arkansas. Definitely Arkansas. That's where I grew up, so that's where my ties are.
Okay,
so, yeah.
But you did get some education from Oklahoma
University.
I did.
I graduated from the Economic Development Institute through the Oklahoma University. That was an economic development training program I went through. But yeah, I have a lot of friends in Oklahoma. Actually, I'm going to spend this weekend in Tulsa, reffing a little volleyball. That's another life I live.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I think our listeners would be interested to hear, what is your tie to volleyball?
So that's a great question. We could really go down a rabbit hole on that, but I have a passion for coaching and leading and helping other people succeed. That's just kind of the way I'm
you're
wired,
a nurturer.
I guess. Sure.
Love it.
And my oldest two daughters started getting into volleyball and knew nothing about the sport. I didn't. And it was just really, it's a really frustrating sport if you don't know the rules, because there's a lot to it. And it's just so different than your typical basketball, football, baseball, which is what I grew up knowing and playing. And just because I wanted to learn more about the sport, I just volunteered to be an assistant coach with a team. And man, I got the bug. And that led to 10 years of coaching youth travel volleyball. And I never even coached my own kids, but I would always make sure I coached a team where my kids' schedules aligned. And so we would go to the same venue, same cities at the same time. But yeah, so that and I think that kind of carried over into my leadership style, my management style later on in my professional career as well. So now I had to give that up, but now I ref. And so I'll just show up on weekends, maybe some high school matches every once in a while and ref a few games. So.
You're a glutton for punishment.
Reffing
and four daughters.
Right. Well, you're always going to make somebody upset no matter what you do when you're a ref. That's for sure.
So what other hobbies do you have or did you have outside of volleyball?
Yeah, I don't know if I really have time for anymore, but I did play golf when I was younger, and then once we started having kids, that somehow that just went away. I didn't have as much time for that anymore. And I think now that my kids are older and getting away from us, that maybe that's something I'll pick up again. Who knows?
Well, we asked you about what attracted you to Joplin. Let's shift now into your role as president and CEO of the Joplin Area Chamber. What kind of positives do you see that Joplin can have to offer from a chamber perspective?
Yeah, it's really interesting. So I only live 50 minutes away, right there on the border of Arkansas, Missouri, and Bella Vista. And so I didn't know that much about Joplin. One of my daughters went to a school in Kansas, and we would actually meet here. It was kind of a halfway point, would have dinner every once in a while. So I would just kind of cruise through the town, would hit a restaurant, and that was the extent of it. So I didn't know a lot about Joplin when I got the phone call. But then as I started digging in and researching and learning more, there's just more and more to like. This is the kind of community as a chamber professional, as a person whose career is into community development. There's just so many assets here, and it's just, I mean, I know I've already heard people say, hey, we're tired of hearing the word potential, but that's what I saw when I approached Joplin from the outside looking in. There were so many really good bones in place and so many assets. It's like, this is really fertile ground. And so that's what really attracted me to Joplin.
One of the great things about Joplin is the different channels that we have through which we can forge our economic development. We've got a great airport out here. Mm-hmm. We've got a great rail system through here, right here on the I-44 and the newly beautiful reconstructed I-49 corridor.
Right.
I mean, we've got everything we need.
Right. No, that's exactly right. And we've got a great manufacturing and industrial base here. We've got three colleges here, which is extremely unusual for a community this size. And Joplin's it's its own little unique metro area. And that's the other thing I didn't realize is when I drove down Rangeline Road and you just see all the different chains and restaurants, and it's like this town this size shouldn't have these things. And yet they do. And then you learn that there's so much, it's a regional draw and there's so many people that pull in. Mm-hmm. In addition to the national chains that people like to see and are familiar with, especially when they come from other areas, you also have some really great local establishments and restaurants that I'm discovering, and these amazing coffee shops and these amazing restaurants that, you know, been around for years and years, and I'm just discovering them. And this is like a whole new world to me. So.
Well, you brought up some of the great things, like we've got the good bones, we've got the travel, we've got the manufacturing. What challenges do you see in front of you from a chamber perspective?
Sure. Really no different than any community. Labor force and workforce are huge right now all over the country. There's not a single community that's cracked the nut on solving that issue. So that's really the big one, that we've got to help our employers, our manufacturers find workers and find the talent. But we've got some really great partners. We've got an amazing community college, a four-year college, great area high schools. So we've got a lot of assets to build upon and a great foundation. Mm-hmm. So a lot of what chambers do is just connecting everyone together. So we're not operating in silos. So left hand knows what the right hand's doing. If the educational community needs to pivot to help funnel the right talent and workforce to certain employers, they can do that. Vice versa, the employers need to know what's coming out of the pipelines from an education standpoint. We've got a great healthcare system here. All these play a role, quality of life amenities, the downtown. It's really a matter of pulling everyone together and make sure there's open flows of communication so someone's not going rogue and doing their own thing and not really helping anybody else.
Well, you brought up that you might have a great idea. How do you communicate that with the leaders-to-be, whether it's the city of Joplin, to implement an idea to help Joplin continue to grow? Because it seems like even though we've been growing, it's not at the rate that some people think we should be growing.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. So it's all about communication. And I think, you know, you mentioned ideas. I've been asked this question a lot coming in. Hey, what great ideas do you have for Joplin? Well, yeah, I've got some ideas. I've seen things work in other communities. But really, it's not about one person with ideas. It's about creating an environment where the people closest to the information that are already here, everybody has great ideas. Everybody sees the problems and the challenges. Mm-hmm. And has ideas on how to solve those. So it's really a matter of convening the influencers and the leaders and the folks with the information together and saying, how do we all collectively get in a room, come together, let's spitball some things, whiteboard some things, what are some potential solutions? And then you just got to pick one. And then everybody in the room say, yes, this is the direction we need to go. And you just, with you know, everybody on board, a unanimous decision, everybody starts pulling the rope in the same direction rather than, hey, I've got a great idea, I'm going to go do this. Somebody else has a great idea, they're going to go do this. You need to unify everyone in the same room and like I said, it's a cliche, but grab that rope and pull it in the same direction.
So. Well, Travis, I want to talk about vision and goal setting, but we're going to take a quick break and get back to that and a few other questions that we have for you as well. I'm Kevin Seidenstricker, along with Shannon Bruffett. We're hosting Travis Stevens, the new president and chief executive officer of the Joplin Area Chamber of Commerce. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
This is Four States Live, AM 860 and 97.5 KKOW.
Shannon Bruffett along with Kevin Seidenstricker back here on Four States Live. We are talking with Travis Stevens. He is the new president and chief executive officer of the Joplin Area Chamber of Commerce. Now, Travis, you've been on the job less than 100 days. I know kind of that 100 days is kind of like that golden mark people aim for, but what have you been up to so far in your couple of months here?
Yeah, I like to call that my grace period.
Okay.
Like I get a lot of free passes that first 100 days, hopefully, we'll say that. So yeah, it's just really been this whirlwind tour of listening and observing and learning. I've just met with so many people, a lot of one-on-ones, just trying to understand, you know, where perspectives, history, where people are coming from, what they would like to see, you know, Joplin develop into. And it's just been a really great experience and a lot of things you don't expect or think about coming in. And then every single time I sit down with somebody, I learn something new about Joplin or about, you know, the history or something. So it's been a lot to take in, but it's been really, really enjoyable and worth it.
And Travis, before this last break, we were talking about how in your first couple of months here, and as you're going around listening to everyone, you're hearing a lot of good ideas. I'm willing to believe that with your strong experience and your education, that tell me, would you agree if I said the first thing we need is someone with a vision to set goals and then entertain these ideas?
Absolutely. I agree, and I'll disagree with that just a little bit, because you use the word someone. It really is a group, and it's right. A collective. It's not just an individual. So that's really what it comes down to is getting leaders and influencers together in a room, finding some common ground, and finding one or two or three goals that everyone can agree on, and then really double down and put all our energy and resources into those couple of items to make sure there's success. Where communities trip up and fall oftentimes, and in businesses, organizations, teams, they just try to spread themselves too thin, and they try to take on too much, and they try to chase shiny objects, and they get distracted. So it's really all about staying laser focused on those two or three key goals and ideas, and just sticking with them and follow through, because a lot's going to happen, right? COVID's going to happen. Pandemics are going to happen. Politics are going to change. You just have to really stay focused and keep remind people of the why, and just keep constantly and consistently beating the drum and saying, here's what we're doing. Here's why we're doing it. We can't stop until it's done.
Awesome.
So you brought up some goals, and I know you can't necessarily give away everything that you talked about possibly in your interview, but I'm sure you do have some great ideas for Joplin. Where do you see Joplin in the next year, 5, 10?
Yeah, so can't really speak to anything specific now, because
right.
We haven't really set those goals and those visions yet. So we'll sit down as a board, the chamber board, we'll start having those discussions probably in another 60 days or so. And then we'll develop a strategic plan, and that will give us our blueprint and our compass to follow. But just from a philosophy standpoint, right now, it's interesting. When I first got into the industry 15 years ago, and I'm talking about economic development, when you're trying to attract employers and job creators to your town, it was just hammered into me. Don't talk about quality of life. People don't care. The quality of life is everywhere. They want to know about your highway system. They want to know about, you know, distance to and proximity to ports and rail and airports. They want to know about your labor force. And now in the last 15 years, and I think the pandemic probably played a role in this, people want to know, you know, is this a place I can live? Is this a place my employees can live and want to live and be happy here? And so from a philosophical standpoint, it's about developing your community first, and then the economic development comes later. And it's a natural byproduct of really developing a great community. So you're starting with it's little things like charm. It's your school system. It's safety. You know, do people feel safe living here, walking the neighborhoods? And I know this is kind of a dirty word, but trail systems, you know, it's like, I know that's been beaten because we've seen what's happened in Northwest Arkansas, but it really is about connecting the different neighborhoods, one park to the next park, and allowing people to be mobile, not just in a car, but get out on a walk with their families. So it's all the little things like that of just building that community first and people saying, this is where I want to live. Now I need to go find a job. And in 30 years, it may change. You know,
right.
we'll be back to the economic development first side. So.
Well, you did come from a community, an area that has totally exploded over the last couple of decades. Is that the same approach to get Joplin to do the same thing or maybe do it even better?
Yeah, I think there's some definitely things to be learned. Every community is unique. So you can't, one community can't just replicate what another community has done because everybody has their own strengths and weaknesses. Bentonville, Northwest Arkansas, they have some distinct advantages. Oh gosh, the wealthiest family in the world happens to live there. I wish that could be true in every community, right? I love telling this story and I'll try to keep it brief, but in Bentonville, especially, 10 years ago, even though Walmart Fortune 1 was there, that's where the home office was, no one really wanted to live there. People would come in to work for Walmart, but they would move to Fayetteville, Springdale, Rogers, and they would drive in and commute because it wasn't really that attractive. And their downtown was like a lot of other downtowns. There were some boarded up buildings, old infrastructure. And then, you know, 10 years ago, there was a shift and they began to focus on the charm and the quality of life and the amenities. And and this is another big lesson. It's we always refer to these 10-year overnight success stories. People wake up one day and they think, oh, what a beautiful place. Well, they don't realize how long it took to get there. And so Bentonville has gone through this decade-long process, and it really started with Crystal Bridges Museum that we all know about. I think it went online in 2011 or 2012, and it took that long. You know, suddenly everybody wanted to live in Bentonville when 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that wasn't the case. So it's a good benchmark to say it can be done. And this is kind of how you do it. People want to live there. You gotta make it enticing and interesting.
So what is the next step then? Do you continue meeting with folks? You know, you said about in the next 60 days, who are you looking for to kind of join you in that room to make sure that those visions come to fruition and do it in the right way to where we're not just throwing something on the wall to see what sticks?
Yeah, great question. So I still have quite a list to get through. So I started right away with my staff, 12 folks on our team. I make 13, met with them. Then I started with the board of directors, and that's about 20, 25, once you count board members and ex officio members. And then branching out to Joplin City Council members, other large employers, stakeholders, so the hospitals, the education systems, institutions. I'll get to large employers next, which that's going to be a lot of folks as well. And then break out and do regional. So what are some folks in the other surrounding communities doing? We're a mini metro area, so they play a role as well. And then it's a matter of getting the board together for a strategic plan and deciding on some of those common goals. And then from there, we may even go a step above that and not just include the board of directors of the chamber, but community leaders as well, and do a community visioning process, not just a chamber board process.
So. And Travis, I could see that working out really well. And you might look to the future and say, okay, six months from now, I'm going to send out a meeting invite on the calendar.
Right.
And, you know, you could have possibly maybe already identified, and then there might be some cats and dogs to throw in there later, but maybe you've already identified maybe four or six essential personnel, whether it's in the chamber or business community leaders.
Sure.
To send that calendar invite to and say, okay, let's go ahead and know that we are going to do this in 6 months.
Yeah. And it probably wouldn't be a calendar invite. It'd be more of a one-on-one invitation. You know, I'd be a little more personable than that.
I understand. Yeah.
And there may be people that, you know, haven't been at the table before and haven't been in the room before that we need to include and reach out to and invite them as well. And you want various perspectives and diverse opinions. Mm-hmm. And then you, like I said, you may not be able to agree on everything, but you find those two or three goals that everybody can agree on.
Yeah.
And then you have a lot of power behind you and you can get some things done that way.
Do you think that the newly completed I-49 corridor with I-44, are we going to start to see Arkansas now slowly creeping our way?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I hope so, but I also expect it to be that way. Recently, I had a conversation with somebody in the infrastructure industry, let's say. I think they were particularly tied to the water system, and they were telling me how much pressure is being built up in McDonald County on the water system because people are starting to migrate over the border into Missouri. They're buying properties because it's so green and just beautiful right there, but there's not a lot of development. And so there's a lot of opportunities for those people who don't want to live in the urban or even the suburban setting. They want their 5 to 10 acres and a little bit of land and want to walk out and see trees, not a neighbor. So there's a lot of development starting to happen. And I think, obviously, the Bella Vista bypass opening up, it's not going to hurt anything for sure. But it's going to bring people a lot closer together. And it's so easy now to get from downtown Joplin to downtown Bentonville or Rogers. Mm-hmm. I live in Bella Vista. It takes me 51 minutes to get from my house to the office in downtown Joplin. I didn't realize that. I had no idea it was that close until I started coming here. So I think awesome. You're going to see a lot more of Arkansas and Missouri bleeding together for sure.
Well, Travis, thank you so much for joining us here on Four States Live. We look forward to having you back, especially as we start to see those plans
absolutely
become a reality.
Yeah, got to get the message out. So, right. Kevin, Shannon, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here.
We've got more coming up on the show. Stay with us.
This is Four States Live, AM 860 and 97.5 KKOW.